Good morning, everyone. We've been reading a letter together on Sunday mornings. And the letter we've been reading is from the Apostle Peter to a group of Christians who've been scattered throughout the Roman Empire. And these Christians are experiencing all sorts of trial and consequence and opposition and even persecution for following Jesus. The Roman Empire is a really hostile environment. And Peter knows this about the Christians' experience, and so he wants to use part of this letter to address some of the suffering that they've been experiencing. And that's the part of the letter that we're going to read together this morning. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. Dear friends, don't be surprised by the fiery troubles that are coming in order to test you. Don't feel as though something strange is happening to you. But be happy as you share in Christ's sufferings. Then you will also be full of joy when he appears again in his glory. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Don't be surprised. Be happy. Other translations say rejoice. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. I imagine none of this is what the readers were expecting to hear in this letter. But you see, Peter understands the significance of this suffering. Peter has this secured hope and vision about the coming of God's kingdom, and all of that creates great meaning and even joy around this type of suffering. And so today we're going to unpack and learn from these verses so that we too might have a similarly secured hope and vision, meaning and joy when this sort of suffering happens to us. And right away, we can see that Peter isn't talking about all suffering. The suffering that these verses address is suffering because of your faith. So he's not talking about suffering because of loss or tragedy or maybe chronic illness. There are other parts of the Bible that talk about that suffering. The suffering that these verses look at is the suffering someone experiences because they love Jesus and they do what he says. And as readers of the Bible, we often want the Bible to speak to us exactly where we're at in our particular life situation. So if we come to a part of the Bible that feels, say, far away or maybe irrelevant to our current life in front of us, we tend to just read past those verses. Maybe you experienced that just a minute ago as I was reading our text for this morning. You may have thought to yourself, well, I'm not currently experiencing any persecution, so this one isn't for me. But if we read the Bible that way, we actually miss these really critical moments of understanding and clarity about God and his kingdom and the world around us. You see, the words of the Bible are for all of us all the time. Think of it like driver's ed. You know, before you can get your driver's license, you have to take a class that will teach you a whole wide range of things about being a driver, right? So rules of the road, what to do if you get in a car accident, maybe the particular dangers that a driver might experience or interact with. Well, none of the people in that class are currently experiencing any of those things. They can't drive yet. But the point of driver's ed is that it plants little seeds in the brains of future drivers so that when they experience those sorts of situations, they have some orientation. They know what to do. And the Bible does the same thing for us. It plants seeds of perspective and understanding, of hope, of action, so that when we are in a particular situation, we know what to do or we know how to think about it. And for Peter, suffering because of your love and commitment to Jesus is expected at some point of the life of a Christian. Don't be surprised, he says, when it happens. To follow Jesus, to allow the good news of the gospel to shape our lives, is actually completely radical, right? The gospel calls us to self-sacrifice, to humility, to generosity. The gospel calls us to forgiveness, to worship, to the pursuit of justice, to the radical love of others, to say yes to God's way rather than our own way every single day. And the way of Jesus is so countercultural that at some point, Christians are going to experience pushback from other people. Teasing, insults, challenge, maybe harassment or unfair treatment or even persecution. And Peter knows the followers of Jesus are going to experience this type of suffering, not only because of the experience of many disciples, but because we hear Jesus talk about it himself. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, lie, or say all kinds of evil things about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven." That's Matthew 5, 11 through 12. And there's that word again, right? Rejoice, be glad. And all of that sounds kind of crazy to me because I don't know about you, but my natural instinct isn't to respond to insults or evil or suffering with joy. But the joy that Peter and Jesus are talking to is not about the suffering itself. It's about what the suffering represents. You see, Jesus was opposed and challenged in all sorts of ways. Jesus experienced teasing and insult, challenge, harassment, certainly unfair treatment. So if we experience opposition and pushback as suffering, when we follow Jesus, when we begin to see God's kingdom come to earth, well, then we are sharing in Christ's suffering. And that brings joy. Messianic, full of hope, the kingdom is here and still it is coming sort of joy. And it's just really appetizer portion joy, right? Because any joy we experience now in our suffering will be magnified, all-consuming, when God's kingdom comes in full. That's what Peter says when he means, then you will also be full of joy when he appears again in his glory. And you know, I think this idea of sharing in Christ's suffering really challenges our perspective of what it looks like to actually follow Jesus. You know, I think most of us want to follow Jesus the way that we might show up to like a hike or a guided walk in the woods. Say you were to sign up for that sort of thing, right? When you agree to the walk, let's say you show up to participate in that sort of thing, you have really clear expectations about the guide's role as leader and then your role as follower. And I think that's how most of us follow Jesus. We have really clear expectations of what we want Jesus to do. We want Jesus to show us the way through, to make it enjoyable and pain-free. We want Jesus to keep us from getting lost, to teach us along the way, and if he could bring a snack for us, well, even better. And then we, as followers, well, we just get to follow on autopilot. But the idea of sharing in Christ's suffering means we are active, engaged participants in the walk. In our following of Jesus, we do the things that Jesus does. We pray for the sick because that's what Jesus does. We disrupt systems of oppression because that's what Jesus does. We love and care for one another because that's what Jesus does. We say no to the temptation to greed and power and status because that's what Jesus does. We listen and engage and amplify marginalized voices because that's what Jesus does. We challenge the way it has always been because that's what Jesus does. And at some point along the way, in the midst of doing all that Jesus does, well, yeah, it's at some point it's probably going to hurt. we will likely suffer for some part of loving Jesus and doing what he does. Maybe some of you are experiencing some form of that suffering right now. Maybe you have chosen to pursue justice and equality, and the pushback you've gotten is challenge or betrayal or conflict in particular relationships. And while that suffering is painful and uncomfortable in every way, can you imagine the possibility for joy? Joy of watching healing happen? The joy of dismantled systems being reconfigured for the benefit for all people? The joy of safety and justice and value being made secure for Black lives? The joy of getting proximate, like Gino talked about last week. The joy of learning from and being led by a wide range of voices. The joy of experiencing God's kingdom of truth and hope and redemption coming right in front of us. I know exactly why Peter says rejoice in these verses. And we don't experience this suffering alone. The Spirit of God rests on us. Peter wants to make sure we understand that. Just like God was with Jesus in his suffering, God is with us in ours. This is why Peter and Jesus both refer to it as an experience, a state of blessing. And one theologian, as he looked at these verses, he said something that has really stuck with me this week, and I wanted to share it with you. He says this of Peter's words. He says, "This demonstrates that God's presence is available to followers of Jesus in special measure in their most radical moments of obedience." I wonder what kind of obedience we would have courage for if we remembered that God is with us always. Now, I'm not suggesting that we go looking for suffering, but I am saying that I believe we avoid, we cut corners, we water down our obedience if we are afraid that it will lead to social suffering. What obedience would you have enough courage for if you remembered that God was with you always? What would it look like to do the things that Jesus does in your family, in your neighborhood, at work, in each and every platform, however big or small it is? It may bring suffering. It may hurt along the way, but can you imagine the possibility for joy? May we be the church with a secured hope and vision that even should suffering come, loving Jesus and doing what he does is exactly where we want to be.